internet is filled lately with a lot of information about folks who are coming to Christ. You know, it reminds us of the story of the man who went out to labor early as opposed to those who come much later. They're going to get the same pay. Are they getting the same foundational information as we are? No, it's not necessary. Because we got all eternity, you know, to learn about God. I don't think a lot of people think of it from that viewpoint. What are we going to do all eternity? We're going to be learning. All eternity. Now, I feel sorry for those who know everything. They're going to be bored. They won't know what to do. All eternity, they won't have none to do because they know it all already. However, for you and I, who understands that there must be continual learning, continuous improvement, that is music to our ears. And so that's the direction in which we're going. Want to say hello to everyone who's listening online, all the ones down in you know, in the islands, down in Jamaica, Victor, hold the fort, and for those who are traveling on the way, Lord grant them safe travel as they come listening. They didn't miss anything because they're tuning in on 9 as they travel. The marvels of technology. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have been hearing in the announcement and also in the prayers, Pentecost is coming up very shortly, the 24th of this month. And you can ask yourself, what does Pentecost mean to me? It's a question everybody should really ask themselves. What does Pentecost mean to me? I'm not going to talk about that today. We'll leave that a little later, but they're going to touch on some fundamental things because the church has been given an assignment. Some people call it the Great Commission. It's a commission. It's a great one, not an ordinary one. It's a great one. We ought to go into the whole world and to teach some foundational truths. Those who hear and believe and are baptized will be in the kingdom. They're on their way. But Pentecost itself represents something else. Generally, we call it the birth of the church. The church age. Church is the English word for ecclesia, the Greek, which means called out once. And we are called to come out of this world, not to leave the world itself. Can't do that. But not to live that way. We ought to live a certain way. How? By every word of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So we are supposed to live a certain way. But the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you stop and think about it, because, you know, folks, they have a way of rationalizing things in their mind, and sometimes they come up against God without realizing it. And here we are at the end of the age, so to speak, where God sent his son, Jesus, and people are just now getting access to the Holy Spirit. What am to all the people who lived before? What about all the nations who never heard of God or any, well, they heard of gods, but you know, no gods are no gods at all. So what am to all those people? Well, tradition doesn't teach us that that is the case. They just rationalize and saying, well, we know God is just, which he is. We know he's fair. That's true also. And therefore, they're going to get a bye? No. By the way, that's what they call it in baseball. Where you just go, yeah. Okay. Nobody's going to go, you know, just like that. So what I am trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that God has a purpose, and so what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen, is for us now to get hold of it, recognize what is going on. Because what I am trying to share with you is that the believers must operate in faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is, impossible to please him. You're not going to please him unless you're operating in faith. So all of us should be operating in faith. Let me say it again. The whole church, everybody, the preachers included, everybody must operate in faith. And not only that, he has given us his spirit. Remember, the spirit was not yet given until Jesus was glorified. Well, the spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. And that spirit then is to empower us to operate in the things of God. We're going to leave an assignment today because you can stop and think about it, really. Anything you can do by yourself, really, you don't really need God to that. But the point is that he's going to lead you in a direction and in places where you're going to have to rely on him. You're going to have to learn to either sink or swim. And so the point here, again, ladies and gentlemen, is that we must operate in faith and must operate in power. And that's the title of the message today, Faith and Power. That is the responsibility of the church. We must all operate in faith and power. And that's what I want to share with us today. And we're going to drill down and we're going to look at some little things. So I'm sorry, I'm joking about it, but we might end up going a little over because I get so carried away with this truth and I see all these things. I just want you to just go ahead and open your head and just pour it in there. That's not possible, is it? I wish I could, but that's not possible. But we're going to drill down a little further. By the way, how many of you have access to the weekly teaching and pay close, listen to it as often as you can? All right, the weekly teaching. Very, very, very critical. You're going to find that I weave all my messages because I tend to follow a certain pattern. I'll be talking to the Lord and more talk, I drill down, I share. So a lot of what I have here, you can go back and online and listen to the lyrics. There's an audio version, slightly different from the printed version. But the gist of it is there, the weekly teaching this past week, and we're going to go a little further because that is a prerequisite. But we're going to cover some things quickly before we drill down a little further today, because I'm saying to you that church must operate in faith and power. Now, you go back in the book of Acts where it's recorded, the Acts of the Apostles. What does that mean? It means the recording of things that took place where God was working through the apostles the same way he should be working through you and I today. And they committed some acts. They were good. They were doing the right thing. So the Acts of the Apostles, or you might say the Acts of the Church today. The Acts of the Church in, Jonesboro, Living Waters Ministries, what we're doing here and so on. No, there's no room for people to sit on the fence. You need to get off. We're going to uproot those posts. You're going to be working. You're going to be moving. You're going to get things done. So I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, I want to stir you up so you can recognize that you're supposed to be operating in faith and power, right? All right. Now, it is assumed then that you are baptized and you have access to the Spirit of God. The impartation took place and now you have access to the Spirit. I mean, without that, no, you can't get none done, right? The things of God are done by the Spirit. It's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, right? And so the point here is that it's a prerequisite. Now, a lot of folks don't understand it. Everybody is given a measure of faith. When you start off, you get some faith. Yeah, the measure of faith. But a lot of people are walking on 20, 30 years, 40 years after, and they still have that token anointing that they had when they were just baptized. What have you been doing all that time? You send your child to school, and after 30 years, they're still in grade 1, and they're going to wonder what happened. How many teachers have you passed through all this time? You're still in grade 1? A lot of people behave like that in the church. No power. It doesn't even cross their mind. This lady was arguing with my sister, this man really, down in Florida, he was arguing with my sister, who I'm talking about. And he was saying, who or what is the Holy Spirit? This man baptized in his church 30 plus years, never heard of the Holy Spirit. What in the world has he been doing all this time? Or did he just get baptized and took a, you know, vacation on some other planet that didn't come back? I don't know. But yeah, I'm being facetious, but you get the idea. The point is that we're supposed to be growing, folks, and God expects us to operate that way, all right? Now, I want to remind us, because we have to say this, and so I'm saying it. By the way, young people, this involves you too. You're going to walk in more power faster than your parents. Yes, faster. That's the way God set it up. No, we already run the first leg. You can't go back and start the race all over. So that wreck is already run. So you're on the next leg when you get the baton. It's your turn to run, and you need to go. Don't tell me you're never going to start all over. Uh-uh. Now, you have some folks like that in the church. That's quitting. That's why people jump from church to church and from church to church, and they go over there, and there's something wrong with the preachers, something wrong with the people, and nothing wrong with them. They got it all together. They're just going from church to church. If they have it together, why can't they hear from the Lord and go where He put them? The bottom line is that a lot of folks are not operating in power, and they just don't know it. They don't have a clue. They don't have an idea. And I'm telling you, it's time they get exposed, because we are all supposed to be operating in power. All right, let's press on. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to just look at some fundamental things here. We touched on this last night, but I want to drill down a little further again. Let's look at it, because Jesus went and He performed. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. What does it say? Let's see. He says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then said He, at that time, so we want them to know that they had power. So He says, he said, "Let's take up the palsy, take up your bed, you know, and walk." Or let me make sure I'm reading it correctly. "That you may know that the Son of Man had power on the earth." He said to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to thine house." So He told him that in verse 6. And verse 7 says, "And He arose and departed to His house." So Jesus just said a statement. He made that statement. And immediately we saw something. And so they arose. He arose. That's good. That's fine right there, sir. And so what happens that He arose and picked up his bed. And of course, you know, you have some super deacon down the road is going to say, "Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing carrying his bed on the Sabbath?" But they didn't see what was going on. But here it is. He said that. But I want us to look at verse 8. "But when this multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." Did you just see that? What did He do? He gave power unto men. They see this happen to Jesus, and they see it operating through Jesus. Now, what I'm trying to convey is that folks are going to see it operating through you also. If we have the expectation and we are deciding to follow God, we will have these things operating in through us. But I digress for a minute. Some years ago, we were at the up in, not Dunwoody, but the new place we had moved the office, and they had a birthday party. Well, I'm not really into this stuff, but they asked me to come and pray. I went up there, and they told me about this lady that was at Grady all day. They wanted to admit her, and they couldn't find a room. They didn't have no bed. And they were saying poor, and they call her name. And I said, "Listen, y'all calling me to pray about a party when this lady has been there the whole day and y'all knew about it. Let's pray about her." So we prayed. And when I finished, I said, "Oh, by the party, you can have it. Amen." That was the prayer. And I left, go back to my office. And by the time I got there, the same man, Pastor Sweet, Mr. Richardson, he come down there and he said, "Hey, we just got a call. We just got a call from down in Grady. I think that just a minute ago, she just got a room." And I said, "Praise the Lord. You got so many people come and look at my door." They were peeping and looked through the door and looking at me. It was kind of funny. That's the way they were just looking at me. Yeah, listen. God answers prayers, folks. We need to, you know, that was the one that was most important Oh, yeah, they did eat the cake and whatever else they had. But the point is this, that was what was important. Are you with me now, folks? He has given such power unto men. By the way, they did give me a slice of the cake also, which I did eat. But you get the idea. I'm saying, you know, he gave such power unto men. Now, you know, we listen. When Moses was walking on planet Earth, when he used to go into the inner sanctuary and he met with the Lord, y'all remember him going inside the tabernacle and talking about him going inside there and he meets inside the Lord. And by the way, what do you call that stuff that sometimes appear before them? Yeah, okay. And they have another name that they normally use. They what kind of glory? Zekinah glory. There you go. All right. Thank you. And so the point, though, is this. He went inside there to talk with the Lord. Now, you know, God, sometimes I don't think people realize God is very, very personal, you know, very, very personal. He said it before. I talk with Moses face to face. And so in the psalm, the 62nd psalm, let's look at something here that want us to go ahead so we get this in our spirit. Because what I am trying to do is to share certain information to stir us up so we lay a foundation so that when we operate on that, then we can operate in power. Because remember I said, all of us are supposed to be operating in what? Faith and power. All right? So verse 10 says, Psalm 62, verse 10 says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. He's giving sound advice there, isn't he? Don't focus on the material things. And verse 11 says, God had spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God. Now, I am stressing this, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to what I'm saying. Power belongs to God. Now, he's delegated some of it to us. Not all of it, some. Collectively, we're supposed to be moving as the body. I don't think the rest of the church grasps that. You know, that's one of the reasons why people are so willing to divide, separate. They're going to, and they have all kind of excuses as to why they need to go their own way. And usually without power, too. Not realizing that they're supposed to be, there is power in unity, power in operating where God put you. You need to go where he put you, not where you want to go or where you look nice or where everybody like you, but where God put you. That's the bottom line. Mr. What is it? What kind of seeds are these? Let me look at this just for a minute. Oh, you said cucumber seeds? Cantaloupe? Are you going to plant them back there? Well, what happens when you go back there? You hear a voice and no, I don't want to plant back here. I want to go up front. What are you going to do? You get the idea. There are people who don't behave like that, you know. They go where they want to go. They do what they want to do. And some will expect God to bless them. And then if things don't work out, they wonder what happened. You've been walking in disobedience. That's what it is. But anyway, let's continue, folks, because I'm saying to you, God wants us to all operate in power. We are being tested. Listen to me. Every one of us is going to be tested, and God expects us to pass in every grade. And so the point here is this. No, you can go down the list little by little, and we're going to look at the list shortly, but you get the idea. I'm saying to you, you're going to be tested. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested. You and I are going to be led into some kind of wilderness, somewhere where there's nobody else who is going to be able to help us, unless we learn to rely on God, and God help us if we don't rely on him, because we're going to be out cold. We're going to lose that battle. We're all going to be tested. But why does this have to happen to me? Because you're called to be a son of God, and therefore you're going to have to be tested and molded and reshaped, you know, and beat into shape and form the proper form and so on until you come to your senses and realize that it is God who is supposed to operate in and through you. That's it. That's the bottom line. All right, let's press on a little further, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, when we were at the university, we had the expression SOP, Standard Operating Procedure. By the way, oh, you come to think of it, you know, we did it at the lab also, Standard Operating Procedure. And we, you know, use the acronym SOP. What's your SOP? Let me see your SOP. Well, you and I are supposed to have some SOP, standard operating procedure, just a certain way you behave. You want, when you're coming to your secret place to go meet with the Lord, yeah, that's my boy, that's Marcus. He's coming for his daily bread. He's coming there. He recognizes you. He know your habit. Daniel, as his custom was, you know, they had formally passed the decree. Ain't nobody asked for nothing else other than the king within certain days, 30 days, I think it was. But the idea was that that didn't faze him. He, as he did before time, he just goes right there, open up the windows, everything else. If you want to look at me, that's up to you. You know, he went and he prayed just like he always did. Did God back him up? He sure did. Will he back us up? He sure will. And so the point is, we want to get that in our mind, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's press on a little further. Now, how do you get us this faith? Where does it come from? Where in the world can we find faith these days? Because a lot of people act as if it's such a mystery. Where is it from? Simple. Faith comes by hearing the word. That's right. For those online, faith comes by hearing the word. You're going to get it. That's the Bible. Read it. Believe it. Put it into practice. That is faith. You believe what it says. When he says he'll never leave you or forsake you, that's exactly what he meant. When he says, you know, these signs shall follow them, that's exactly what he meant. When he said you must go into all the world, this is what he meant. When he said bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in my house, and prove me now, that's exactly what he meant. Every one of us is going to be tested at some point in time, ladies and gentlemen. And so, you know, I was laughing and joking, talking to this gentleman this week, and I was saying, people must learn not to mess with God. Because when he says something, it's going to happen just like he said. Just like he said. You remember the story about the man? We don't want to go there to read it, but you get the idea. It's in the book of Daniel. He wouldn't behave himself. And so God, all right, okay, we're going to put your portion with the animals. So he go out there. And he was eating grass like an ox till he come to his senses. Sometimes people have to go through that, you know, because sometimes people get a little beside themselves. Anyway, I digress there. So Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, just make a note of that. We have touched on that before, so I won't take time to read it. Now, our faith is proportional then, as you can see, to the amount of word that is in us. That is the word that you believe. And as I said before, no word, no faith. Get a little word, get a little faith, more word, more faith. That's it. It's proportional. And so, as he explained in Hebrews 11:6, we said it earlier, without faith it is impossible to please him. So you and I then want to please God, and we want to do exactly what he says. We want to fulfill the assignment he has given us in whatever degree it is. And so we're going to operate in faith. Now, let's draw a number line. This morning, this idea crossed my mind. Let's draw a number line. Let's draw a line, maybe, I don't know, for those listening online, I'm trying to picture, maybe 10 inches wide. Just draw a line. And in the middle, we just mark it off as its halfway point. All right? Does that make sense? Then let's divide the right side into five parts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right? And so that's proportional. So let's call the middle 0. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then let's do the same thing for the other side, the left side. And since it is going to be less than 0, let's put a minus before it. So that's minus. You remember we did these things in grade 7? The number line? Y'all remember that? Okay, good. And so my point, though, is this. Each position is relative to the other. So we're going to use it. Just assume that they're proportional for this argument's sake. And so I am saying that if you go to the left, and let's say you're at position number 2, to go all the way back, 5 space, you're going to increase now, 5 space, and we were, say, what, 2? Then we go plus 5, that's going to put you at position number 3. You get the idea? I'm just saying you go from one direction to another. I am using that to point out increasing or decreasing. That's all I'm trying to convey to you. Because what I'm saying to you is that we now going to learn to increase our faith. all things are possible to those who believe. With faith, we can accomplish it. Now, sometimes, you know, because we have so many people trying to put the ball back in God's court. Well, he does not answer. No, you just don't have the faith. And rather than get clear in our mind that we don't have faith and we need to go get some, we're there trying to act like he's the one who is not acting right. And so we accuse him of not answering when he has a... Listen, for those who are listening online, checkers or chess, the point is two people are playing. We take turns. Doesn't matter who moved first. One person moved, then it's the next person move, right? And then the next person, go back to the first one again, and back and forth, all right? Does that make sense to you? It's the same way with God. He gave us his word. It's our turn now to believe it. We believe it, then he acts again, and then it's our turn to react. And when it is his turn, he always moves. Now, when it is our turn, that's a whole different story. We got so many excuses as to why he can't work. Have you tried to crank the car? No. Well, what do you mean it won't start? Well, do you have the key? Yes. You put the key in the key? No. Well, then put the key in. Well, I don't know if it's going to start. Well, you put the key in and turn the key. It is that simple. You're going to have to move when it is your turn. The car won't drive. You haven't even tried to crank the car. By the way, it was funny. When I used to do computer work, this gentleman called me. You're not getting any sound from the speakers. They were brand new speakers. So I go and I turn them on. And he start, music was coming out. And he said, you're going to think we're crazy. We here the whole time. Couldn't get any sound out. He didn't turn the speakers on. Sounds funny. But I've seen a lot of things like that. I remember one time the computer wasn't plugged up. Did I charge him? Yes. Listen, sometimes this is fun. You know, folks in the church are doing the same thing. I don't think we think about it, but from time to time, we're doing the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be operating. In the book of Luke, the 11th chapter, let me see. Yes. Did I say it right? No, 17th chapter. Jesus was speaking, and the disciples ask a question. Now I'm taking time to read this, because what I find, ladies and gentlemen, is that the church needs more teaching along this line. Can somebody read that aloud to me, please, verse 4 and 5? All right, thank you. So here it is. He's saying, it is interesting. I was thinking about this morning, and when David was reading it again, if somebody offend you or go contrary, sin against you, whatever the expression you use, and then they turn and say they repent, you must forgive them. By the way, you realize that take power? There are some people, sometimes they're not really the type you really want to deal with, but you're supposed to do it. Takes power. So here it is, though. He's saying that, do that. And the disciples said to him, increase our faith. They're saying, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And I'm saying to you, the point is this. Our faith can be increased, number one. And number two, our faith needs to be increased. Well, did he give them a formula? In a sense, it is. But notice his response. It is a teaching that most of the church seem to just read over. So let's take time and read the next verse. So he says, If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What did just take place? If you had faith, you'll do so and so. And he's giving one example. In other words, you're going to be doing something. In that James, he says, I show you by faith, by my works. You're doing something. In order for you to operate in faith, you must be doing something. You're going to believe, practice, put it however you want to phrase it, do something. The more you do, the more faith you will demonstrate. So I want us to make sure we understand that, right? Faith. And again, this takes power. Remember now, you're going to have the challenging situations where you're going to have to rely on God, on his word. Sometimes you're going to be just there by yourself. Where did it say about Elijah? You all know about Elijah in the Old Testament. Where did it tell us where he got his anointing? Which college did he go to? Where did he get all his degree or whatever? You get the idea? Once you're in it, God, that's all that matters. When they early, the apostles were being attacked by the antagonists, the people who were in charge in the early days in the book of Acts, it said that they noted that these people had been with Jesus. Why? They're doing the same thing that Jesus was doing. Same thing. That's the idea. You get the idea? So my point here is this. If you have faith now, you're going to be doing the things of God. And again, I'm saying to you, we need to operate in greater faith. Now, God promised to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. I promise myself I'm going to give a message on that one of these days so we can drill down a little further because there's some misunderstanding. But in the book of Acts, the first chapter, he promised that he is going to, that it was stated that way, that you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, there was a time when people were baptized in water, but later on the ingredient changed, and now they're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Verse 8. It was promised that they're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and not only just receive, but you're going to be baptized. That means you're going to be showered with it. More, more, more. Some years ago, I was talking to a minister, and he was saying, oh, that's just more God's Spirit. And he just kind of just shrugged it off, you know, it's like that, not realizing the need for us to keep pressing through. And so my point, though, is that Jesus then is going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. And when that happens, what else is going to take place automatically? Power is going to come upon you. You're going to have power to do whatever it is you need to do. You know, you build a house, you wire it up for electricity, and then you connect to the power source, the public service, and so now you have power. You look inside and say, well, I didn't see no electricity. Well, how do you know? Well, you know, I look at the wire and I didn't see none. You don't have to see it. It's there. That's how it works. And the same way inside you, it is there. But when you're going to do something, you will see the result. Same thing, all right? So the point we are doing is that he promised that he's going to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and that's what he has promised you and I. So how does it work, and what is it then that you and I need to do? Let's press on a little more. Because in the book of, I'll just go ahead and mention these scriptures. Let me see how much time I have. And Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 14, it says, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sons, there is new to gender again. As many as are led by the Spirit. All right? You all are familiar with this. By the way, after a while, these things are just going to come to you. Trust me. And after a while, when you get used to relying on him, and if you miss something, He's going to bring it back to your attention, and you will get used to him when he says, hey, you should have said this. You should have said this. You go back and mention it. You'll see what I'm talking about. That comes through experience. But my point here is this. As many as are led by the Spirit. So you and I then are going to make a quality decision to what? Be led by the Spirit. What does that mean? You're going to practice using the word as often as you can in every circumstance. The other day I was working on this thing. He was giving me a little challenge and he just dawned on me. I didn't pray about it. I said, Lord, help me with this. And I was scratching my head. And I just touched this stuff and it moved just like that. So I burst out laughing and said, Lord, that was quick. You know, I mean, just like that. Just like that. It's amazing the way you operate, folks. It's amazing the way you operate. Sometimes, you know, we get this idea. We all have this tendency to always want to do stuff our way. You know, but the point here is this. We have to caution ourselves and let us come back to the realization that, hey, we need to rely on him. So Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 then tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So the way of God, the love, the give way, the way that's supposed to be the right way, that is going to be shed or shared by the Spirit operating in and through us, interacting with other people, in other words, is shed abroad in our heart. And it does how? By the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. So we keep these in mind, but I'm laying the foundation because I want us to realize something now. Because when we go back to Luke 11 chapter, verse 12 and 13. I think that's Mr. Thomas Freese. So can you read that for me, sir? Yes. Yes, verse. That's fine. That's verse 13. So the point, though, is this. We need to ask, constantly ask. You don't have to ask him in front of everybody, but constantly ask him, Lord, I need more of your power. Lead and show me what to do, which direction I should go, what should I do here? Show me what I need to do in this situation, and so on. Practice doing that. You know, this young man, the Bible said he did that which was good in the eyes of the Lord, but he made one mistake. I think his name was Josiah. One mistake. It cost him his life. One mistake. He went out there and fight against Pharaoh, the king of Necho, the king of Egypt, and he got killed. That's the only time he never did ask the priest what to do. One mistake cost him his life. Sometimes you can make one mistake and it costs you. This gentleman was telling me he was working at Georgia Power. And I know this is a little harsh, but to illustrate the point, he's saying they always warning you about be careful you touch this and touch that. And he was careless and his elbow touched this wire. It had 10,000 volts and it just knocked off his hand just like that. One mistake. What I'm saying to you now is that I'm hoping while you're listening to me, you're developing in your mind that I'm going to put together my little package in which I go to the Lord little by little and ask him about these things. Don't be in any rush. Just go to him. He'll speed you up when it's time, but you get the idea. You're going to learn to formulate your own SOP, standard operating procedure. All right? Now, again, you can ask and he will what? Give you more of his Spirit. Pour out more. And you'll see that you need that, especially when we go to, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. We'll touch that in a minute. But you'll see, we need more. We hear a lot of stuff happening to people in the church. And it's not that God hasn't promised, but it's just that we just need more power operating in the church. That's it. It is that simple. I mean, now we can ask God to take over our responsibility, in which case he's going to say, well, what do you do? Because he assigned it to us. But you get the idea. The point is that we have to do something. Even the man who came with his son, who the disciples couldn't cast him out. Now, a lot of people, it's a false teaching, by the way. I've heard it a lot in the Church of God. They need to stop it. They keep talking about because they were arguing before. That is rubbish. That's not what Jesus said. He said, when they asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. That's it. Now, when we substitute the word of God for our ideas, we're not going to grow in faith that way. So that's why I'm saying we have to stop it. We have to make sure we don't repeat that foolishness and don't, you know, go contrary to the word. Jesus said they lack faith. That's it. Plain and simple. Now, let's go on a little further, ladies and gentlemen. Because in the early church, you go back and read the book of Acts, you see there was a lot of information that is recorded there where God was doing these things. The former treatise were written unto you, Theophilus, of what Jesus began both to do and to teach, and how he continued doing these things after he went back to heaven through the Holy Ghost. He was directing the apostles, verses 2 and 3 of Acts chapter 1, and he continued to do that. By the way, he's doing the same thing between to us today if we will yield to the Spirit. To the same thing to us. Remember, he said, it is better for me that for you if I go. Because when he goes, then he can direct everything or coordinate stuff through the Spirit. When he was on earth, or he's, yeah, I should say, localized in one area, so it doesn't, it's not as effective. But he, from heaven, he coordinate everything simultaneously, sequentially, whichever way you want to look at it. And he's constantly doing it, all right? And he's willing to do more. So I'm saying to you now that there is a lot that is recorded in the book of Acts. I'm just going to mention this before we go on and look at our little list I have here. But people get dramatic answers to their prayers. You know, Peter was released from prison after the church prayed, you know, and Clodius let him out. And as a matter of fact, one of the young ladies, when he come knocking on the door, she should close the door in his face because she said, hey, that's not real. I mean, she didn't, she prayed, but she didn't expect it. Happened so quick. And so she run back, go tell them, and they start make up story right away. It is his angel. he was still there knocking. So they said, wait a minute now, let's go check this out. Is him for real? But you get the idea. So I am saying to you, the church have record of that taking place. On another occasion, they were locked up and they prayed and all the chains broke off these people. And the prisoners, you know, the Paul said to the prisoners, hey, listen, you know, Don't hurt yourself, rather. Not the prisoners, but the guards. Don't hurt yourself because we're all here. And of course, you end up being converted. You get the idea. But all these examples are there, ladies and gentlemen. And I am saying to you and reminding you again, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. We have been there before. Jesus Christ, the same, complete, yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. All right? Now, let's press through a little further, ladies and gentlemen. I'm skipping over some of my notes because you all are familiar. Jesus is no respecter of persons, Romans chapter 2, verse 11. But let's look on now. We're going to look at some examples of walking in faith. We're familiar with the story of Elijah and what he did. You know, how he came up against the prophet of Baal and so on, 1 Kings chapter 18. You're familiar with that, and James chapter, James chapter 4, rather, and 5, rather, verse 17 says, he was a light man just like you and I. So the point here is this, we can operate just like Elijah in faith the same way. We don't not to put ourselves down, not realizing that, hey, we're at the end, the end of the age. We have a whole lot more exposed, should we be exposed to a lot more than they did. So how much more then should we be willing? And it's not because of us, it's because of what God is doing. But that's, he has set it up so that we are born at the end of the age. All right? So let's press on, because the idea is that after today, your assignment then is to what? Operate in faith and power. Very good. Thank you. Now let's look at some examples. In Acts, the 13th chapter, let's look at this. Just touch on this quickly. I'll just pick a few out of the scriptures because the Bible is filled with these. But the it says, now there were in the church at Antioch certain prophets, that's verse 1, prophets and teachers as Barnabas and so on. And verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Notice now, what were they doing? They were ministering to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And the point here is this. Here it is, the church get together, and they were fasting and singing praises to God, ministering to the Lord, as it says, serve, worshiping him. And right then, what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke. Did they hear a voice? No, go look at the context before. They were prophets in the church. And so the prophets spoke, and they hear it. And he will do the same thing among you and I. All right? Listen, folks, I know it may sound a little far-fetched, but I'm telling you, you're at the stage now where you can get ready to walk in this kind of power. That is what I'm trying to share with us, so that by Pentecost, you know, you're really ready to, you know, burst out in power. All right, now let's look at something else. That's one way the power of God was on display for the folks to see. They heard somebody say, this is what the Lord said. And what did they do? They just laid hands on them and sent them out. All right, now let's take it a step further. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this is a different situation now. Things were a little challenging for the church, and the folks in one era they got pinned down, so to speak. Let me tell you something. The enemy, you know, he's always planning all kind of things, and all kind of stuff happened. And so stuff was coming against the church. And so they needed stuff. There was no food, not enough resources. And so Paul is writing about, and he's telling now, this is what they do. What were they getting ready to do? They're going to pick up a collection. Now, we're not talking about necessarily money, but things for the church. And so if you read the story, but verse, let's see. 5 says, therefore, I thought it necessary to encourage the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same night be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And the point is this, he's encouraging them, listen, you're going to give. What are we doing it for? For the saints. They're collecting for the saints. We still do the same thing today, don't we? We look out for the brethren elsewhere, and we help them out, all right? So my point, though, is this. The folks are operating in power, and Paul was bragging about them, says, hey, listen, I know y'all are ready. But just so long as somebody don't get the wrong idea, I'm sending folk, a team, an advanced team, to let you know that we're coming. So when we come, we don't have to collect anything. And of course, who's going to give them the seed to sow? In this case, they break it down now in a spiritual concept. Who gives them the seed to sow? He which ministers seed to the sower. How does verse 10 says? Yeah. Now, so there it is. He who ministers seed to the sower, those who are listening online, he's saying, that's God. He's going to bless your work. He's going to multiply the seed also, so that the people who get it can also receive. And at the same time, he's going to put that to your account as one who is a giver. He's putting you in a different category now. You're one of those provider. So keep that in mind. That's part of what he's doing. And so I'm saying to you now, this is part of how you're going to start to recognize when you're operating in what? Faith and power. All right. And of course, he said earlier, you know, those who speak sparingly, he's just making a statement. Those who sow sparingly reap sparingly. And, you know, that's logical. You know, it's proportional to whatever it is you sow. But you get the idea. So let's press on a little further. How else can we operate in faith and power? Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. I think I have the wrong notes here, but I have the right scripture. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, let's see. Go ahead. All right, thank you. So he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is he that is working in you. So the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that when we are operating in faith and power, we are going to rely on him, and we come across difficult situations. You're going to put it to him so that he help tell you what to do, which direction to go, and how much or whatever it is you need to do. All right. But my point is that you're supposed to do it. Now, just abandon it and say, well, everything gone, all hope is lost, and just, well, I don't know what to do, and therefore you do nothing. That doesn't make sense. So the point here is this, that we are supposed to be operating in faith and power. All right, continue. Just mention this, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. So you know you ought to be studying. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, you can make a note of this, read it in your own time, but I'm just going to paraphrase verses 1 through 14, because what was Daniel doing? In the first year of Darius the Mede, Daniel set himself by prayer and fasting, and he was seeking the Lord by supplication. And the point here is this, you go read this old prayer and you see, what was he doing? He was becoming an intercessor for his people. We're going to become intercessors for the church. We're going to become intercessors for our family. We're going to become intercessors for the government. A lot of the mistakes that our president is making is because he has all these spirits around him. He didn't invite them. They just come with the territory. They're going to surround whoever is in that office. And if you don't have enough people covering him, because he doesn't know the Bible as he should, he's supposed to read it every day, but obviously that is not the case. And so the point here is this, we are going to have to intercede for the country, otherwise serious things are going to happen. Now, we can blame him all we want, but the bottom line is going to happen to the country. And so we need to practice praying for those who are over us, that we may have a peaceable lifestyle, so to speak. Tough times are coming. Listen. Did you hear the talk, by the way? This is not in my notes, but just digress for a minute. You hear the talk this week from Germany? They're telling America, hurry up and leave. Hurry up and leave the Middle East. They want to take over. They're getting ready. In fact, they're sending a boat, what do you call this thing? A ship over there to go stop patrolling that area. Yes, and Mr. Gutenberg, Carl Gutenberg, they talked to him about it. And they said, well, what do you think they should do if Iran fires on them? And he said, when you go on these ships, you know, we're going there for security reasons. It is not really a cruise, you know. So the point is this, they're going to fire back. Now, I've been saying time and again, because the prophecy, and we don't have time to go into it, but Daniel chapter 11, verses 38 to 43 tells us that Germany, leading Europe, is going to come against Iran, who's going to be the dominant force in the Persian, caliphate or empire that they're going to build. So this is what you see taking shape already. And they're now prepared for America to hurry up and leave so that we can take over. By the way, this is not hidden news. It's common. You can look it up on, DW. It's a German word for Dutch world. forget the German word for what's yeah, but anyway, it's DW, but I think it's DEUTCH. I think that's how they spell it. But that's the point is this: they're putting themselves in, then they're positioning themselves already. So we are, you know, we're getting ready to close the war down from America's perspective because Trump really doesn't really want to go in that direction. The American people generally aren't a warlike people. But we want to hurry up and get out of there. But Germany now want to flex their muscle. Remember, they already point this thing out. They are going to be in charge of Europe by 2039, 100 years after the start of the last World War. So they're right on target, and they are moving full steam ahead, and it is for everybody now to see, all right? But here it is, I'm saying to you now that intercession need to be made for the country. So part of what you and I need to do then as operating in faith and power is to what? Become intercessors. Remember, the relatives and so on that you really don't like, put them on top of the list. Pray for them. Don't stop praying until God answers your prayers. What about the people who are giving trouble? Yes, pray for them that God will turn them and change their heart. If you think they're really offline, or if it is your heart that needs to be changed, then you ask him to do so. But the point is this, we're going to have to come clean. All of us, all right? We're going to operate in faith and power. Let's press on a little further, ladies and gentlemen. Ephesians, one more. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse, let me see in my notes, 24, because I haven't touched this in a while. It says, and that you put on the new man. In other words, we're going to, now you and I then are a new creation. We're operating in faith and power. We are created in righteousness and through holiness. That is what God intends to do in us. Verse 25, wherefore put away all lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor and so on. So he says, stop lying. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. So you can be angry about some stiff, but don't let this thing get to you. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. And the point is, and you have a list of things here. You can read this in your own time. Verses 24 through 32, the rest of the chapter, telling us things that we should be doing. Making sure. So that's your checklist. Do all of these. That way you're going to ensure that you're operating in faith and power. All right, let's continue a little further. Now, I'd like for us to make sure we have a checklist, ladies and gentlemen. You can, however you like to write things down. I just like to write stuff down. I remember when I was in grade 7, I had a teacher, Mr. Slowbaum. He was from St. Louis, and he said, you know, smart people think they're foolish, and so they write things down. Dumb people think they're smart, so they don't write things down. Well, you get the idea. Write it down. So ever since then, I've been writing it down. All right? Anyway, I'm saying to you now, well, this is your little list. What about church attendance or fellowship with one another? We want to make sure we're doing this thing, right? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Do not forsake the assembling together of yourself of the manner of some is. We need to make sure we're doing these things. This is part of what we do. How many? There's a message I gave some time ago because people are realizing, you know, there is power in fellowship. When you come together, there is power in that. A lot of people don't realize it. There is. And we could go more and more in that direction. But my point is that we need to make sure we're doing these things. The people who think they don't need anybody and they can handle it by themselves and they go hide out somewhere and they'll hear from nobody who knows how long. They're not in touch with anybody. Somehow think they got it together. There's no such thing as a secret believer. There isn't any. No, God is going to, he's putting us on display. We're always going to be on display. All right, let's take it a step further. What else do we do on our checklist? You know, you're all familiar with this. Tithes and offering. You know, we're all familiar with that. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 10 gives us the promise, but the discussion really starts in chapter 1, verses 6 through 13, where he's telling the folks that they didn't think enough of him to give to the church. This is part of what I'm trying to convey and not trying to put them down, but the brethren in Africa need to realize now they're going to have to make a concerted effort to give more to the work of the Lord. Oh, yes, we love them. We're going to continue to pray for them. I will assist them. But I expect them now to start to do more for the Lord. And the moment they do it, you're going to see that God's going to bless them even more. But you get the same thing happening here, right here in Stateside. We all need to be doing more. Press on. What else? Covet earnestly the best gifts, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. You remember that? You know, so the point is that we should desire that the gifts of God is going to operate in and through us, among us. Why we sing the song? We're living where what? The healing waters flow. Yes, that's what we want. We want the congregation where the youngsters who don't really know the Lord, the moment they come, they're going to recognize, oh man, this is a different atmosphere. Things are different here. That little child that had the problem with their ankle, all of a sudden it get healed. People are going to start to realize a whole different atmosphere. A whole different, you know, way of operating. We need to keep these in mind, ladies and gentlemen. And so what I am saying is that we should covet the gifts. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 tells us, by then you should be teachers. Oh, really? Yes, you should be teachers. By now you should be teachers. You have needed somebody to teach you the elementary things again. So the point is this, we ought to be growing. There's no room for complacency. There's no space on the fence for you. As a matter of fact, we're going to pull up the fence. Everybody is working. Everybody got work to do. All right? Now, I'm saying this to point something out because we got a big job in America, a really big job that only the women can do. Only the women can do that. You had some jokers the other day talking about men can become, they're confused. Don't even listen to them. They don't have a clue. But anyway, let's go to the scriptures because I'm saying to you, there are tasks that only women can do. And tomorrow being the annual time set aside, it is not a holy day, but it is okay to recognize the women among us, the moms rather, Mother's Day. And of course, you can do it really for all the women too. But you get the idea. What I am saying is that it is a special thing. Now, a lot of people don't realize it. They didn't have Mother's Day, to my knowledge, in the Bible days. But it is recorded. And we're going to look at some scriptures. So let's take turn and read for just a minute. I'd like for somebody to turn to 2 Kings chapter 18 and verses 2 through 4. 2 Kings chapter 18. I want us to see something here. 2 Kings chapter 18 verses 2 through 4. All right, thank you. So he removed the high places and so on. But anyway, what up is this. Hezekiah began to reign, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because his mama, she told him. All right, he was 25 years. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. You get that? So here it is now. Hezekiah got his start. By the way, you know, when I went to school, I could read and write. Yeah, my mom teach me. I want to play. She said, Marcus, I got something I want to show you. And she had pen and paper. And I got real serious because everybody else running up and down outside. I want to go run up and down. She said, you're going to learn these things when you go to school. And so she wanted me to learn some things. Well, I was thinking about that when I read these things. Because that's what happened now. You see, Abby was there getting ready to train her son, and so he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And of course, you know, he did a fantastic job and helped turn the nation back to God. All right, 2 Kings chapter 22. Somebody want to read that? Verses 1 and 2. All right, thank you. So here it is now. He did what was right. And so here it is. The Lord is, they mention it now, you know, and her name is recorded there. She is in the Hall of Fame for all the ladies. All right, let's look at it. 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 32 through 34. Somebody, please. 2 Kings chapter 15. 32, start with verse 32. Verse 34. So here it is now. This fella come and he then he got trained properly again, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. All right, let's pick up another one, please. Chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. All right, I'll just go ahead and read this. Let me see. Somebody else want to read? So here it is. He got proper training. Again, his mama made sure he went to good school. And so he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Joash began to reign. You know, and here it is again. He is doing right. And you begin to see the effect of the ladies as they continue to train. Well, it is common, you know, knowledge, and so Proverbs records something in chapter 21 about what happens when folks get the proper attention. Chapter 29 and verse 15 says, Chapter 29, Proverbs chapter 29, and verse 15. Did I do this right? Where is that 15? Yes, okay. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame, it says in my version. But you get the idea. The point is this. She's there busy. I know they say she's not working, but she's busy running around behind him, make sure, you know, he's still out of trouble, you know, burn his hand and whatever else, and learn after a while to follow instructions. And so we end up now seeing them come up on the, you saw some examples. Every one of them who got proper training, what happened? They did right in the eyes of the Lord. That's part of what we need today in the land. We don't have a lot of that going on because everybody busy out there running, trying to make more money and do more this and more that, and less of God's way of doing things. But the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that we, you and I, have a challenge, and that is to operate in faith and power. I want to suggest something. There's a little game. We played it before. You probably, it's a long time since we played it. But it's one where we're going to practice following instructions. I know a lot of people think they do. It's amazing. All right, you can. Let me just give you a simple example of it. You can get more sophisticated, but make it simple, folks. The idea is for us to build each other up. And so you can blindfold one another. And just say, okay, and the point is this, you take them from point A to point B. So if you have a chair in the way, you'll say, okay, now you move to the right of it. So in other words, to avoid that chair, then you come over here and you might have a little maze. But you get the idea? The point is that you direct them. They can't see. All the seeing that they're going to see is what you give them by your description. You learn to train that way, but you also practice developing your faith. Because part of what we're not getting in the church today is that a lot of people want to see things before they actually do. And I'm saying to you, when you learn to follow the instructions of the word, you will end up getting the result that the word says. He says his word will not come back void. That's for everybody. The word of God will not come back void, okay? So we want to go ahead, and that's one practice we can. And something else I wanted to suggest, I was thinking about it. I think there is a video on it about it, but there's a book called God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew. He's no longer alive, but he did a lot of miraculous things where you could clearly see God was with him. He learned to operate in faith and power. And so what I'm saying is this, you used to collect books about how things up, people operate in challenging circumstances. And his point was, I listened to him. He said, what he has done for one, he will do for all. And so he was of that opinion. He says, okay, if it's there, okay, I learned a new thing. And so then you can call upon God. So you get the idea then, ladies and gentlemen. You and I have a responsibility to operate in faith and power. And I want to encourage us then to go in that direction. And especially as we see Pentecost coming, let us go ahead and drill down and, you know, prepare ourselves to walk in front of the Lord and do more for him. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you in the next lesson.